that one. But. All right. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about the rock. And I thought about it. I told my wife, yes, I was wishing if I had a way to do it, I'd like to get one of the teenage boys to bring a great big old rock and just set it up here. And us all wonder, what is that for? But we didn't have anybody to do that, so it wouldn't be beyond me to do something like that. Years ago, when I was pastor down in Corpus Christi, I believe we should give to the Lord for Christmas. It's his birthday, and I believe in that. And one year, we were down there. How many of you know who Roloff Holmes is? How many of you are familiar with Roloff Holmes? Okay. Roloff Holmes is a Christian-based location for, used to be for children, to get children a home, but now it's for recurring drug addicts and alcoholics. Maybe one Christmas, about 2 weeks before Christmas, we went and bought a mattress and put a mattress in the foyer and wrapped it with a ribbon and all that, had it all decorated, and people come in, what's that for? I'll tell you later. What's that for? I mean, everybody just driving them crazy with suspense. And then at the end, you know, I introduced them to the idea that, you know, we need to give to Jesus for Christmas. You plan ahead of time for giving gifts to your children, your grandchildren, all that, but whose birthday do we celebrate? And that's something we need to make sure we're doing. So that was fun doing that. I like to make people think a little bit. Okay, yeah, the reason we had the mattress was, yeah. See, I kept everybody in suspense. The reason was their mattresses were so old. How old were they? They were so old, literally, that some of them, time somebody lay down on them, they weren't even that thick. You know, I mean, they were just down to nothing. They needed them bad, and our church, and I told the people in the church, I said, you know what? Some of you could give two or three. Some might be two or three of you have to go together to give one. But we can all give something to the Lord for his birthday for Christmas. So that's what we did, and it was fun. We got to deliver several mattresses out there, and the Lord blessed us all for doing it. All right, this morning we're going to talk about the rock. If you turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 28, and we'll only read the first 9 verses. Psalm chapter 28, and if you can stand, wait. Psalm 28, we'll only read the first 9 verses. It's only 9. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Oh, I'm reading 29. Amen. Well, you got an extra bonus this morning. You got a bonus this morning. That's right, that's got 11 verses. That was my first mistake this year, okay? Whew, look out for lightning. Let's try 28. Now, that has the word rock in it. That's kind of where I was going. Oh, me. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Lest thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift my hands toward the holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, for I speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their just desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of the anointed. Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now that we can, again, open your word. And Lord, anytime we open your word, we can find things that encourage us, strengthen us, gives us reason to read. Ask you now as we go through this lesson today that we'll all understand and that each person could find something in this that they could apply to their life and continue to live and live better for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, now that we've got off on the right chapter, it might make more sense. We were talking about the Tower of Babel this morning in Sunday school. And I was reading one thing. You're looking at another. It was Tower of Babel in here for a minute. So this is a psalm where David is asking God to save him from his enemies. Have you ever had a time you kind of, you know, felt like you're being attacked by everybody or everybody bugging you? You know, sometimes we have those enemies as well at work. Now, some of you have to do that terrible thing, work. But I retired 15 years ago, so actually I'd rather have my health good enough I could work, but that's all right. But at work sometimes you get people don't understand your attitude about God. When all you ever talk about is God, well, amen, thank you, I'm glad you noticed. Come join me. Yeah. But he's asking for deliverance. And then verse 4 and 5, he's asking God to take divine retribution. You know, let God deal with them. You know, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not our position to take vengeance out and be angry with anybody. That's the Lord's job against those enemies. The rest of the psalm goes into thanksgiving to God for his anticipated answers. And I like that. His anticipated answers. How many times do we pray with anticipation that God is going to hear and answer our prayer? You know, and we're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. How many times do we, as we're praying, do we thank God for the answer to our prayer before he has a chance to answer it? You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Pray with thanksgiving. And he goes with thanksgiving to God. And then David knows that God will protect him and take care of his needs. Do you know when you're struggling with things, when you're going through problems, and I don't guess anybody here never has problems. You know, I think every one of us has problems. We have problems. My problems are different than Dave's. Dave's problems are different than Pastor's. That's different than Bill. We all have problems, okay? But we need to trust God enough to know that he will get us through those problems if we'll just let him. And sometimes we need to turn loose the ropes and let him be the one to take care of it. No, let's try and do it ourselves. In fact, not sometimes, but all times. So we need to be as David did here and trust that God will protect him and take care of him. He had the faith to thank God ahead of time. How many of us have the faith when we pray to thank God before he even has a chance to answer our prayer? You know, and that's something really important. And then you might say to me, well, I mean, we have three different people we know quite well that are literally on their deathbed. A pastor we knew down in Wellington and a guy from the church. We just buried his wife a week ago. Now he's real bad, going to go. But you say, well, God heal him. Well, that's not always God's plan to heal somebody. We're all going to die someday. You know, my hope is he'll sound that trumpet and he'll take me and I won't have to worry about dying a physical death. That's, you know, if he wants to sound that trumpet before I'm done preaching here today, that'd be wonderful. You know, they can have my car. Somebody can have my car. Then we can have this building. You know, it's going to be wonderful to go to be with the Lord. Amen. So we need to understand when we pray and ask God for things that we don't pray our personal will, but God's will. Mm-hmm. We had somebody in our church this week that her mother is in bad shape, and she has to be in nursing care and all that. And where she had her right now, they're kicking her out because she doesn't qualify to stay there. And this lady praying for her mother and asking everybody to pray for her mother, and she didn't get the answer she wanted. And then the next day, God showed her, hey, I got this. And she got to put her mother in a place, a good place. But if she had had her will and got her out of there a day earlier, she wouldn't have that extra good place for her mother. See, sometimes we just need to remember that God has His own timing and His own way to answer our prayers. And it's just up to us to pray, and pray with thanksgiving, and trust Him to take care of what's right. Prayer is asking and receiving. As a young Christian, I had a hard time learning. You know, to me, when I grew up, you don't ask for things. That's being selfish. That's where I grew up, you know. But that's not true with God. God wants you to ask Him for things. God wants you not to demand, God, I need a car, I want it tomorrow. You know, not like that, but just ask God, you know, to answer your prayers and trust Him to. That's what He wants us. He wants us to ask for things. He already knows what you need. He just wants you to be in concert with Him in asking for it and to trust Him. So that's just where we need to be on that. We're going to look at some things this morning that about David and what happens here. And I want you to know, when David had problems, he knew where to take his problems. He knew where to go. Now, you might want to ask your pastor some assistance, but your prayers and your problems need to be solved by God, period. That's where we need to take our problems. If you need somebody to help you a little bit, that's fine. But our problems need to go to God and God alone, because He's the only one that can solve our problems for us. He's like, I remember one time a guy I was working for threatened to fire me. And I kind of got a little smart mouth, I guess, but I told him, I said, you know what? I was looking for a job when I found this one. So if you got to fire me, just do it. Don't threaten me. Because I've always had the idea, when I was working, I had the idea that, you know what? If I were to lose my job today, you know what? There's something bigger and better waiting for me tomorrow. Something bigger and better. Maybe I am done with my job here. And maybe the Lord wants me to move somewhere else to be able to do something there. So see, it all works out. God's will and God's grace is so great. It always works out. And David knew where to take his problems. What about you and me? When we have problems, are we trying to handle them first? Or are we giving them over to God? I think He still wants us to do some, but He wants to be the one in charge. And that's what's so important to us. If you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Oh, wow, I turned right to it. Wow. Deuteronomy 32. We're going to read verses 31, 32, and 33. Deuteronomy 32. Starting in verse 31. For their rock, and it's speaking of his enemies there, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is a vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and a cruel venom of asps. Well, David understood that those pursuing him, those trying to give him trouble, were of the devil. You look at our country today, all that's happening today, how many of the people making laws and directing and putting laws together, how many of them are born-again believers? And if they were, how could or why would they make some of the stupid laws they make? Okay? Now, they're benefiting, and we talked this morning in Sunday school, they're trying to build themselves up. A lot of our politicians are making laws and approving laws based on how much money they get. You know, I mean, that's true. That under the table money, it drives the laws that are made in our country. It's not, you know, when I was younger, we elected the politicians to serve us. Now we elect the politicians so they can put money in their own pockets. They're not worried about helping us. They use the guise, maybe, of helping us. But they're putting money in their own pockets. So we just need to understand where these laws are coming from and why. And let me tell you something. When it comes to laws of this world, the Bible tells us we're to obey the laws of the land. But it also tells us that we don't have to disobey God and do something against God if that's part of what the law says. Okay? God is our supreme commander. And no matter what kind of laws they pass, if they tell me I can't say the name of God anymore, I'm liable to start putting God in every sentence I say. Okay? Yeah. That was just, and not using it as a foul language like most people do. It drives me crazy when people use, in fact, you can ask my wife, and they're on TV, somebody wins a game or something. Oh my God, thank you, God. They're not saying that to the same God I worship. They're not. That. I just wondered, I asked my wife, I wonder if he even knows who God is. You know, I mean, really. Now just, so we have to be careful about that, too. And along that line, don't be a Christian cusser. You know, oh my goodness. Oh, we say words, derivatives, that make people think those bad words. So make sure you're not using those either. But we see here where David understands that those pursuing him and trying to cause him trouble are of Satan himself. And he's asking God to lead him and protect him. Protect him from those people. He's praying for the security of the rock. And let's look at some things about the rock. Turn to Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 2. You might keep your finger in that spot. We're going to talk a little bit about this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. What more could God be than that? Man, it says he's my strength. I don't know where you draw your strength, but, you know, even in our jobs, and I used to have to work for a living. In fact, I'm retired, right? I don't think old preachers are retired. We just do service where we're needed. But what is he your strength? You go out to the car, and the car doesn't want to start. You going to sit there and complain and gripe about it? Or how about just get somebody to fix it and keep going? Let God be the strength of everything you do. But he should be our rock. You know, should the Bible tells you, on everything give thanks. So that means if I got my thumb up here, I'm hammering a nail, and I pound my thumb. Thank you, God, I just pounded my thumb. Woohoo! You know, you know, that's almost what the Bible tells us, though, literally. We're to thank him for everything. We're to trust him for everything. So we just, your car doesn't start, you got a flat tire. You ever say, well, thank you, Lord, I got this stupid flat tire. You know, but, and or why don't we say, thank you, Lord, I've got a jack and a spare. I can put another tire and I can go on. Which way are you going to be with it? You going to let that one nagy thing ruin your whole day? You go to work, well, I couldn't be here on time because of my tire, da, da, da. And you go all day long, you're moaning and groaning. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Give me that chance to just see something negative and still love you and thank you for being you. You know, just think about that. Then he says he's my buckler. He's my shield. You know, somebody comes throwing a rock at me, I'm going to pull up my shield, do something to shield myself. He said he's my shield. When you think you got trouble, and we all have trouble, but when you got trouble, do you think of God as your shield? Do you think he will protect you from all that? Amen. I mean, do you? You trust him, protect you? You know, all that, some of these laws in this land today, we need a great big shield to protect us from a lot of things that are coming down at us. But where it says here, he's my buckler, you can substitute the word in there, my shield, if you want to. And you're thinking, at least. So he's our shield. He will protect us if we just let him. Then he says he's the horn of my salvation. He's my strength. I think Pastor quoted that this morning, I think. I can do all things, how? Through Christ, who strengtheneth me. You know, he's a horn of my salvation. He's my strength. Now, can you honestly, truly say that you believe that and go by that every minute of the day? I don't think anybody can say that. You know, but we can say when the day is over, we trusted him. But maybe when it first happens, and you first see that flat tire, all the negative thoughts go through your mind. Why me, Lord? Why me? You know? But why do we say that? Why do we say that? He's our strength. He can get us through that flat tire if we're a little bit late to work. And even if it costs you your job. Hey, God has another plan for you somewhere over there, maybe. Maybe this, he's using this to be that reason you need to lose that job so you can go to do this one and do it better. Do whatever. So we just need to trust God to be our strength. And then he says, he's my high tower. He's our stronghold. You know, there is nothing that can come our way that God can't handle for us. Nothing. Nothing come our way that he can't handle for us. You know, and we're dealing with, we buried one friend and got, literally within the next 6 months, probably got three more. But I know when somebody passes away, and those of you who have lost siblings, or those of you who have lost parents and stuff, it is a tough, tough time. But you know what? God will see you through it. God will see you through it. He's your stronghold. He'll give you the strength to handle it, to put it, do it. Let it be. I mean, my mom and I were really close. I loved her to death, and I hated losing her, but I knew it was God's will that she did what he did. It wasn't any surprise to God. He knew what was happening and when. But you know what? If I'd have had my way, my mom would live until beyond when I died. Well, that probably wouldn't be all that good for her. Yeah. Today, we don't have people live to be as old as Methuselah, okay? And boy, am I glad I don't have to think about living that long. But just remember, God needs to be our rock. He's got to be our rock. You know, get anything else out of this today, go home and keep thinking, God is my rock. God is my rock. He's my rock. Trust him. And then back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. Had it right there and looking for it. 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. And if you notice that word rock there, it's capitalized. He is the rock, meaning the Lord. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Who else could we ever go to that is absolutely perfect? Who could we go to? Now I hate to disillusion you, but probably your pastor isn't perfect. I hate the disillusion there. But, but, you know, there isn't anybody walking on this earth that is perfect, that's without iniquity. Nobody. So why would you want to go with somebody like that to get you through your problem instead of asking God to help you? You know, we need to understand where our power lies, where our everything lies, really. God is our everything. And His work is perfect. Show me one thing that God has done that wasn't perfect. And I'll question your faith. All his ways are perfect judgment. He is the God of truth without iniquity. He is the God. That's always remember him as the God of everything. And then Christ is our rock. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. I took a lot of verses this morning, but that's okay. I hope. You know, I like to use a lot of scriptures to back up what I'm saying, because you know what? When I do that, then you know it's not from me. It's God's word. And that is so important. You know, I can say a lot of things, but my personal opinion, my thoughts are not important. God's are. That's why I use a lot of verses to back it up. 10 verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock and followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. That rock is Christ. He is our rock. He will get us through everything that we ever come across or think we might come across. He will get us through. But folks, we need to learn to trust in him as our rock. Our finances. You may think, well, I'm in a hole I can never get out of. Well, you know what? With God as your rock, you can. Because you know what? All you need to do is talk to God about them and let Him direct how you handle the rest of the way. You know, that's the important part. And we've been destitute. We've been to the point ourselves where we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But we trusted God anyway. And God took care. And you can see I'm not exactly starving. So He got us through back then. He gets us through now. Look at Psalm chapter 28 and verse 1. Psalm 28 and verse 1. Seems like that's a familiar verse we read a while ago. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. What do we need deliverance from? What enemies you and I have? Do we have the iniquity of worry? Now, there's an awful, awful lot of people that worry about things. But should we? Instead of worrying about it, why don't we say, Lord, this is your problem. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. This is your problem, Lord, not mine. And we need to get rid of that worry in our life. We need to get rid of self-sufficiency. You know, you are what you are, who you are, and where you are, because God has provided for you. You know, it's nice to have a church building that's air-conditioned. But you know, churches didn't start out in big fancy buildings. Churches start out in people's homes. And I got a notion, if I'm not wrong, probably like in Israel where they were meeting in homes, I got a notion they probably didn't have air conditioning. And I don't know about you, but man, I lived from air conditioner to air conditioner in the summer. Vietnam, it was rarely ever under 100. Now, anything above 75, I'm uncomfortable. But maybe it's because I was 50-some years younger then. I could handle it better. But be careful you're not being self-sufficient. That you trust God for everything you have and will have. We need to be careful that we're thankful for and take time for prayer and Bible study. You know, you might think, well, I don't have time. I got to do this. Well, hey, wait a minute. If you don't have time to read your Bible and pray before you go to work, then get up a few minutes earlier. That's pretty simple. You know? We see people driving like idiots on the highway and driving 80 and 40 zone, whatever. Well, sometimes I think, fellow, if you had just got up a few minutes earlier, you wouldn't have to drive like that. And you wouldn't have to do that. So if you find you don't have time for Bible reading and prayer, ask the Lord to wake up earlier. You know? And I don't know, but now I'm not saying 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't. Oh, does that exist in America? 5 o'clock in the morning? No. I'm not real sure. But when I was younger, I'd get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, go fishing. Now there ain't no fish worth going that early for. Because all we do is we just catch and release anyway. But that's why it's called fishing, because most of the time it's just fishing. It's not catching. See. Ain't you ever want to go fishing with somebody that won't catch more fish than you? Take me along. I guarantee you'll catch more than me. You'll have that thrill. But be careful of that. Trust Him to deliver us from our trials. We go on a long list of things that we fail at giving God the credit for. But we just need to learn to let Him be our rock. Let Him deliver us from all those situations. And you might even be thinking, maybe you said something make you think, well, I got this going on this afternoon, I got that going on this afternoon. Hey, wait a minute. God is still in charge. He's still in charge. You might think you've got problems, but, you know, I like to think that what we need to be able to do, especially like at night, sometimes we like to worry and stew and fret over things, lay down in a bed, and all of a sudden all these problems come up. Why don't we learn to say, Lord, these are your problems. You're going to stay up all night anyway, so how about you take care of these problems for me and let me go to sleep? You know? Why don't we? Now, I know I never ask Him for beauty sleep, okay? I mean, Pastor, somebody look in the mirror and what looks back at you. You know, I know God has a sense of humor, because every time I look in the mirror, I think, wow, God, you got a sense of humor. So we just need to remember that God is in charge. So don't go to bed worrying about things. Have the faith. Have the faith in God that He can and will take care of your problems for you. Just have that faith. Look at Psalm 81, verse 16. Psalm 81, verse 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? Have any of you ever, years ago we used to have that golden wheat in the summertime. Have any of you ever taken a handful of that wheat, put it in your mouth and chew on it? Man, that makes some great gum. That really does. And the taste you get is probably healthy, I don't know. But I can remember riding the back. I had an uncle that had a big farm, and I'd ride in the truck. That was back when you didn't have to be perfectly safe about everything. And we'd ride in the back of that truck on top of the wheat running from the farm back into town. We just thought that was the greatest thing. And then eating that wheat, oh, man, that was good stuff. But what he's saying here, he talks about the honey from the rock. You know what? When we give our life over to the Lord in everything, every phase of our life, we find that peace, that joy that you'll never have anyplace else. Whenever you can learn, whenever I can learn to give all my issues, all my problems, all my enemies and everything over to God and let Him be in total control of my life, it's amazing the peace we have with Him. The honey from the rock. Oh, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of honey, but if God produced that honey from that rock, I know it would be the best honey there ever been, period. That would have been the best ever. I trust Him for the best ever. And all this kind of goes to the story about the Matthew, was it 7, where it talks about the man built his house on a rock. Well, why is that story in the Bible? Well, if you build your house or build your life upon the rock, nothing's going to destroy it. Yep. If you build on the rock. Now, we lived in Corpus Christi, and I remember when they came out with some new codes, they had to build new houses with according to the code, they were protecting them from like 130-mile-an-hour winds. And the builders and everybody would complain about having to do all that. And then, a few years later, a hurricane came through. And you could look at the pictures, and we weren't there when the hurricane came through, but you could look at the pictures, and you could tell which houses were built according to the rules. And all the older houses were gone away, but the ones that were built right stayed. Well, what about you and me? Are we keeping our life directly 100% based on God and His Word? And are we enjoying that peace that He wants us to enjoy? He wants you and me to have peace within. He wants us to have that peace. That's His desire, because that means we're following Him. He wants us to have that peace. But He also sets a parameter. We have to trust Him and follow Him and do His will. And when we do and learn, let Him be our rock, He'll give us that peace within. You know, so if you're struggling with anything today, friends, if you're struggling, you don't have that peace. You don't have the enjoyment you should have. You know, the slightest thing makes you upset and mad. Why? Why don't you turn over those things that you're hanging on to and let God be in charge and give you that peace? You know, my counsel with people in time past, I would tell, you know, one of the biggest things we have is hatred. Oh, when I was growing up, we couldn't say the word hate. Yeah. But when somebody does something really bad and you just hate them, you need to learn to hate what they did, not them. Because when you hate them, you're still giving them a certain piece of your life that they're still in control of. You know, let God be the one to take the vengeance. Let God be the one in charge. You know, when I told my family one time, and I said, hey, you know, that guy killed your brother. I was in court as their advocate with him. But this won't make sense to you now, but think about this and ask God. Hate the thing that they did wrong, but learn to love the person. God hates our sin, but he loves us. You know, and don't tell me you don't have sin. But think about that. Now, to him to know to do good and do it not is sin. That's scripture. To turn everything over to God is what he wants. And if we don't do it, we're sinning by not doing it. So we need to learn to get away from that and learn to trust God for our everything. Whether it be enough money to buy groceries, whether it be another car to replace that one that won't run about half the time, whether it be death in a family, no matter what it is, God knows what's going on. God is in charge. He wants you to turn it all over to him and trust him to be your rock. Today, as we go to invitation time, I just ask you this. Are you letting God be your rock? Or are you holding some things back? And really, when you hold things back, go ahead and worry about them, you're almost saying, well, God, I don't trust you. God, I don't trust you. I mean, this is a major issue. I got to take care of myself. Well, no, it's not a major issue to take care of yourself. It's a major issue that God wants to take care of. So we just need to learn to let him be our rock, let him be in control, quit our worrying, and have the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's learn to do that. Let's pray. Father, this morning I want to thank you that you are our rock. I thank you that you are in charge. I thank you that you're absolutely perfect beyond what we can even understand perfect being. And I understand and know that you're just waiting for us to bring our problems to you. You want to help us through our problems. And Lord, the most important thing we can do today is just to take this message, apply this about being letting you be our rock. Let you be in charge. Let you be in control. And let us quit worrying about it. Because I don't know. The Bible says, you know, talks about worrying, not worrying. You know, how can one person worry and add anything to a stature? All worrying is going to do is tear us up. So, Lord, help us to put our trust in you, put our faith in you, that you can handle everything. And it's not even big things. You can take care of our little things for us as well as big. So, Lord, help us to let you